Awesome. Welcome back to another episode with the Uninformed Gamers. I am one of your hosts, Camilino Chris, and I have with me my other host, my brother from the same mother, Darkness Tiger, or Devon.
Hey, you know, I would have loved if you would have just left it at other host and just let that just sit. Because I would have known how to respond to that. You're my other host, and I'd be like, I guess that's me then.
Next time.
Unfortunately, listeners, Mason Rad Dreams is out because he is sick. We wish him a speedy recovery, and hopefully his princess is in the right castle.
Is that like a Mario reference?
That is a Mario reference. I'm still like, for some reason I was thinking about Mario, the Super Mario Brothers movie, which, again, mid, meh. But for some reason, that was in my thought for some reason.
Huh. Interesting.
Once I see a movie, I don't generally revisit it, but I've been listening to a lot of Nintendo soundtracks, so that might be why.
That's fair. That makes sense.
But it also probably has to do with, as the listeners know, we weren't here last week. And one of the reasons was because I was on vacation. Now, you might be wondering, listeners, it seems like he takes a vacation every month. That is true. I absolutely do. I live a very stressed out life. Just dealing with me is very stressful. And while I was on vacation, Chris, I decided to pick up a book. Mm-hmm. Well, I picked up the book before I went on vacation. And I got an opportunity to read the book whilst I was on vacation. And it is Disrupting the Game by Reggie Fils-Aime, the former president and CEO of Nintendo of America.
Absolutely. I have to
say, this book was phenomenal.
Yeah?
I'm not really into like business books or like success books or even self-help books or anything like that. But the way Reggie writes, he basically says, puts his entire career on a timeline and works through his entirety of his career and kind of talks about the lessons that he learned on the way there. And I did not know that he worked for VH1. He's worked for Panda Express. He's worked for Pizza Hut. He's done all of these major things. Whenever I think of him, I think of him being the head of Nintendo. But he's really been able to shape corporations just by having just core principles that he sticks with.
Yeah, and that's awesome because, I mean, I guess he's a man with a plan and he tries to stick to that and he tries to make a difference. And he definitely did with Nintendo. And I think he tried to with GameStop, but, you know, GameStop's GameStop.
Well, he actually talks about GameStop towards the end of the book because at the 90% mark, that's where he concludes the story with Nintendo. And then he basically is like, okay, so let's talk about what happened with GameStop. Basically, what he says is that where he comes from, his ideas, we need like innovators in the industry all to come together. Let's work out a plan and practice. Let's go ahead and build and develop one singular focus and focus on that. But the problem was the former CEO of Chewy filled the board with all of his like Chewy executives.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of groupthink. And he says that once you have groupthink, there's no value in me being there. We're all going to think the same. There's not going to be a person who's going to change it up.
Yeah, that's fair. That's so fair.
One of the things that he talked about was how Nintendo of America was its own fractured entity. And Nintendo of Japan was its own fractured entity. And Nintendo of Europe was its own fractured entity. They didn't really speak. They really didn't talk. And they really didn't assist each other until he got in. And he basically said, yo, we need to be knowing what Japan is doing. We need to be having conversations with them. Now, Nintendo of America at the time was just like, oh, we don't talk Japan. That's not Japanese culture. And he says, I understand that, but we're selling in the American culture. They need to know how we need to do business here.
And that's so crazy to me. Sorry to interrupt, but that's so crazy to me that like the same company, just because they're in two different countries, aren't like speaking. With something like video gaming, like it's kind of nuts to me.
Well, it basically was like this. Japan would make something and they would trickle it down to the U.S. And that's one of the reasons why the United States does not get a lot of the games. And that's actually talked about. And that was actually talked about, I think, Reggie was mentioning, I think it was called Brain Game or Brain Age for the 3DS or the whatever. And the reason originally it was not going to come to the US because there was no English localization for it. And a lot of the Nintendo games don't have English localizations. So Reggie was just like, this is a game that's going to help sell to an older demographic. We need to get this in here. We need to get some English localization. We need to get something that's specifically tailored towards the American market. And it was a back and forth battle, and eventually they decided to add in Sudoku. They eventually changed a couple of things, and they eventually released it for the American market, well afterwards. But it wasn't for Reggie, it would never have happened. One of the other things that he discusses is the Nintendo 3DS. I never like cared about the 3DS because it was just all it just seemed like a Nintendo just like extension to me. And apparently it was not that big of a sales leader. And the reason being because of the price. A lot of people felt that it was too expensive, including Reggie. He said that it's too expensive, it's not going to sell here. We need to lower the price point, and we need to go for a price point around $199 or $219. And Mr. Iwatawa at the time, who was the I believe the president of Nintendo Japan, basically told him, kick rocks, that's not going to happen.
How much was the 3DS? I don't remember.
Let me look real quick. It was very expensive, and then they dropped the price.
And then it got
Original.
sales. Yeah.
It got sales, but didn't get great sales. So it was originally confirmed as 249. So it was
Okay.
$250 in 2011, and Reggie said that that's just too expensive for what this is. It really should be 199, and if I can't get 199, I should get 219. And so Mr. Iwatawa said that that's not possible. We will lose money. It just can't be possible. So eventually, after they released it, it didn't do well in sales. They went ahead and they actually ended up dropping the price down to 219 a few months later. Now, before they did that, Reggie said, well, it's going to look like we did not know what we're doing if we're dropping the price by 30 bucks in just a few months.
True. That is very true.
So what he suggested was, let's bundle a few games with it. Let's get some the for people who paid for the original price, we'll give them like 10 free games from our older systems and our that they can download, make them Nintendo 3DS ambassadors, and then we drop the price. That way everybody's happy across the board.
That's a
And
smart idea.
yep, and originally Mr. Iwatawa basically said that we don't bundle software, and Reggie got pushed him on it, and he was able to get the Nintendo 3DS to eventually start selling a little bit better. So he was very innovative, and he talks about the lessons that he learned every step of the way, talking about the battles in which he chose to fight, and even talking about the battles in which he didn't win. He said that was his biggest battle that he didn't win was the Nintendo 3DS price.
Crazy. Like, price is so important. And to hear him like fuck, I'm trying, but like this motherfucker's blocking me. It just sucks, you know?
Well, one of the things he talked about is that in the American market, like 199 is just considered better. Like
True.
249 or 219 is not really a great thing. Like it doesn't look great from the American side. He says 199 is what's going to get Americans on board, but he just couldn't make it happen.
Yeah, that's interesting. That is so interesting.
Oh yeah, if you get the opportunity, I definitely recommend going down to your local bookstore. If you can, go to a support a local bookstore. Don't buy this off Amazon. I did not. And pick up Disrupting the Game by Reggie Phyllis Ame. It is a phenomenal book, and who knows, maybe I'll put it up for a bit of some sort. But what have you been up to, Chris? Let's talk about that, because you already know what I've been up to for the last week. In intense, uncomfortable detail.
Yeah. Oh, I know all about what you've been doing. What have I been doing? So I completed my full first playthrough of Elden Ring. So I got all the achievements that were was possible to do with my first playthrough, and now I just gotta play through it like two or three more times, whatever,
Oh,
to get the rest of the achievements. But yeah, I fought all the main secret bosses, got those achievements, and I did everything that I really could with what I did in the playthrough. It was fun. It was a good fuck ending, My God, was the last boss absolutely freaking annoying. Like, so
Melania or whatever.
No, so that's technically not even a boss that you have to do. That's just a secret boss, but she's the hardest, considered the hardest character in the game.
Okay.
This thing's called the Elden Beast, and my God, it was just so annoying. It has so much range, and it would just keep fucking teleporting away and flying away and like just doing annoying stuff. And I have to run across the damn map to try and hit it. And then, it's already spamming me with spells again. Oh, sweet. Okay, I'm dead. but eventually I got like a really good run through and I was able to KO it, which was cool. Yeah, and then I selected my first time around just the regular traditional ending. But yeah, I'll start messing with those other secret endings. I had two ending options, but I really wasn't sure at the time like what was going to happen. I was like, okay, do I get to do both of these? Because I had Ronnie's ending and then the standard ending. But no, you just whatever one you pick at the end, that's the one you get.
Okay.
So it was fun though. It was good. It was an interesting ending. Like so bland and boring ending, kind of, you know.
Yeah.
But it was fine. But yeah, that's what I did there. And then I also started Redfall 2 days ago.
See, I downloaded it. I got the Xbox storage expansion. I downloaded, haven't had an opportunity to play it. Downloaded The Last Case of Benedict Fox. I'm super excited for that. I also downloaded a game called Coffee Talk.
I don't know that one.
It is a talking simulator. So I'm,
oh my God.
I'm curious to see what this is going to expect of me. But let's talk about Redfall, because the world is talking about Redfall, and the world is not looking in Redfall's favor.
Yep, nope, they did not like it. Not like it one bit, nope.
So how do you like it?
I think it's okay. It's a game you're probably not going to really want to play it alone. Let me think. I was having a decent time when me and Victoria were playing it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, it's fine, but like, I don't know. It felt like at times the environment was so dead, but then at other times it felt like I was just getting fucking overran with like vampires and got like people. I was like, this is ridiculous. We actually wiped once because they just threw so much at us and we weren't expecting it. It was like break into this garage and turn on a generator. I was like, okay, cool. And then it's like, this is going to power a UV light. I was like, okay, cool. So the vampires won't be able to get us in this area now. No, I was completely wrong. So I lockpicked into this garage. I turned on the generator and it made so much freaking noise. Like, I'm talking like 20 guys rushed us plus a vampire. And I was like, this UV light ain't doing shit. I was like, this vampire came right up in here in this garage with me and was giving me the freaking hands. Like, I was like, oh, this is ridiculous. I was like, get me the fuck out. But we died before we could get out of the way of it. But yeah, it's very mid. Like, graphics aren't anything impressive. I've heard complaints about their storytelling because it uses like, kind of that like storybook, mm-hmm. like storytelling, like no cutscenes.
Yeah,
it's very like, what's that, game? As Dusk Falls.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like that.
Kind of. Interesting. I actually kind of like that storytelling style.
Yeah. I don't mind it. But a lot of people were like annoyed that there was no cutscenes. I was like, well, like cutscenes doesn't necessarily mean good game, but sure. But it's like, it's okay. Let me try and think. I like the like weapons, like the looter shooter kind of thing. So mm-hmm. that's been pretty cool. The gun shooting seems fine. I have no quorums with it. The game's a bit buggy though. Like, I don't know, I threw like my ability and it just didn't do anything. I'm like, oh, I was trying to get like my character has like a teleport ability. So I threw it to go and try and teleport somewhere. And it just didn't like it didn't do it. I was like, all right. But other times it worked just fine. So I was like, I don't really know what's happening here, but sure. But yeah, it's a very like 6 to 7 out of 10 game. Like, it's fine. It has its place, but the whole it's only 30 FPS on console is pretty noticeable in my opinion. Like I knew it was bad when Victoria said something about it, and I was like, she was like, why does my like why does it feel like my gun's like stuttering when I turn quickly? I'm like, yep, 30 FPS. I was like, that's why. It's because it's very noticeable on shooters. So it was like, I hope that 60 FPS mode is pushed out soon. And they do some performance patches on both PC and Xbox and bug hunts.
Why is there a 30 FPS mode? Is this for the original Xbox as well?
Might as well be.
Damn,
It
just
looks like it.
that's not a great review. That's not.
It's not a good like it does delay a game from a PS2 era. I won't lie. PS2, PS3. It definitely fits that like style, weirdly, but not in a good way. So yeah, that's my thoughts on it. But definitely try it out, play it, form your own thoughts, but it's fine.
Well, that's not great news because Xbox and Microsoft don't have a whole lot of exclusives to rely on. And this was the one that was going to be for May. This was going to be the one that's supposed to be exciting, bring us back into the fold. And to see that this, again, I don't understand why it even has a 30 FPS mode to begin with when you can just have a 60 FPS mode with the power of the Series X. It just seems like this is a very big letdown. And I know for Microsoft, I guarantee going forward, they're going to be a little bit more active in the development cycle. Because rumor has that Microsoft has a tendency to take a hands-off approach.
They gotta stop that.
Yeah, you're going to need some actual like gamers to come in and say whether a game is done or not. And that's why, like, just pay me $100,000, pay me and you $100,000. We will go, we will travel to all these developers. We will just sit there and give them feedback.
Oh, absolutely. I
Yep.
would love to give feedback on something before it releases, because I do it now, like when I sign up for like betas and stuff. But like, I would love to like be able to speak with the directly with the engineers, the QA, and the graphic designers, and all of them, just to like, hey, it would be nice, or even the UX, the user experience people, like, hey, like this feels like awkward. Is there any updates you guys can do to this design? Or hey, this isn't. You guys might need to rework this new graphic style a little bit. Just certain things like that. I always thought they could be very helpful to the different like engineers and everything in the gaming world.
Well, you and I, we played the same beta. We had to sign an NDA for it. Were you able to give any feedback on that? Because I wasn't.
I gave it. I told him this probably delayed it. I probably wrote like three paragraphs. I was like, yo,
Right. This game is trash.
like this game is less than mid.
No, but even though we can't talk about it, like we'll talk about it, listeners, we will talk about this once the game releases. We can't talk about it yet. But Chris Mason and myself, we were all like given the opportunity to play a game, a beta, a very big game beta. We accepted it and we played it, and boy was it mid. And it has potential. It absolutely has potential. But if they were to release it at that moment, it would not have worked.
No. That thing would have been a hell of a flop.
That the company would have to have supported that game for the next 10 years for it to make any money back from itself.
It would need a Sea of Thieves level of turnaround or No Man's Sky level of turnaround.
And that company that is developing the game does not have the Sea of Thieves level turnaround nor commitment to a single game.
They will
That's not
absolutely not
true.
do that.
That's not true. They have one game that I think they've kept up pretty well. But for this particular game, I don't think so. But let's move on. So I mentioned that I downloaded the last case of Benedict Fox, right?
Yes.
Have you heard of
Yes.
this game?
I have, because I watched E3 or whatever it was at the time, or Summer Game Fest, whatever the hell it was. And I was like, oh, that looks really cool. That looks fun.
Yeah, and I saw the same thing, and I finally got an opportunity to launch it. So the last case of Benedict Fox, the case in question revolves around the recent death of Benedict's father. So recent, in fact, that his fresh corpse is still warming the basement floor of the Fox family manor at the outset of the story. Since dusting your fingers and gathering witness testimonies would make for the most compelling of platforming adventures, Benedict is partnered with a demonic command companion, not unlike Mike's patent shotgun riding presence in the darkness, that can whisk him in and out of the limbo. This is the representation of his father's memories and inner demons, manifested into a physical realm to be scoured for clues that explain the senior fox's demise. I have not yet played it, but I have every intention to play it soon. But I'll tell you right now, the reviews are not great.
Really?
Here's what they say: The Last Case of Benedict Fox is a disappointingly uneven Metroidvania that is just as likely to engage as it is to enrage. IGN gives it a 6 out of 10.
Damn.
It is just not a good week. It's not a good week for gaming.
No. Man, wow, I
Yeah.
didn't even see that coming.
Yeah, so I'm curious how Coffee Talk is gonna go, a talking simulator.
Yeah. I
But
mean, you kind of know what you're getting there. I think that'll be fine.
yeah, I enjoy a walking sim. I enjoy a talking sim. I do enjoy Sims. But speaking of simulator, have you had an opportunity to watch the Gran Turismo movie trailer?
Yes.
It looks like garbage.
Really, you didn't like it at all.
I sure didn't. It felt like to me that it was like an indie project for a college student who didn't have a whole lot of money, who smoked a shit ton of weed before writing it.
So you will not be going to see it, is what I'm gathering.
Most likely not. I think I'm gonna wait, or if I can find a way to stream it. I think this would be
Yeah.
a movie that they should stream as well as release. Because if they release this movie, it is not going to get the sales they're looking for.
Huh. I actually got a different feeling. I thought it looked fine. Not like amazing or anything, but it looked fine.
No, but this is Gran Turismo. This is one of the most hit franchises, one of the highest selling franchises in not only in video game history, but of all time. And what we get here is just. Do you remember the movie Ready Player One?
Yeah, it was a great movie.
No, it wasn't. And I
Hater.
hate you for saying that. It was
Hater.
not a good movie. It was good.
Hater.
It was a good book that they turned into a mid-level movie. And that's the same thing we're getting here. It's just going to be a mid-level movie. And I guess you're staying true to the story, but the story is not a very interesting story to begin with.
Let me ask, just to step back one little bit here.
Go for it.
Do you think you would have liked Ready Player One if you hadn't read the book?
I read the book after I watched the movie.
So you had already hated it, and
No,
then.
I watched the movie and I said, okay. Then I read the book and I said, I see what they were trying to go for, and they weren't even close.
Okay,
Yeah.
whatever.
Like, I know this may come as a surprise to you, Chris, but I don't love every movie that I see.
No, I know you don't.
Hated Hereditary, hated Super. I didn't hate Super Mario Brothers. I just thought it was fine. But the Ready Player One movie is a special case because I love the concept of it. I love what they could have done with it. But I
Yeah.
just didn't like what they did with it. Like, I feel like you had so much potential that they squandered it. They could have done so much more. Even if you're not, like, let's say you wanted to make a sequel to Ready Player One, Ready Player One 2, or whatever. Ready Player Two. Because they did make a book, Ready Player Two. Even though I think it's Ready Player One Part Two. If you were going to make another movie, you just use that same universe and move away from the story that the book wrote. Because you're constrained to the book. And Steven Spielberg took quite a lot of liberties. Didn't really work, but I appreciate him for doing so. Was not his best work at all.
Interesting.
I've seen that movie twice. Once in theaters and once to revisit and whether I thought it was a bad movie. And I saw it the second time. I'm like, yep, still a bad movie. Appreciate that it's set in Ohio, though.
Was it set in Ohio?
Yeah, it was set in Columbus.
Don't remember that, but
See,
yeah, I'll
you
take your
don't
word for
remember the details of this movie.
it. I remember some of it.
Fair enough. But before we move on, I pulled up the Redfall review. Do you want to see what the headline says?
Here we go. Yeah, go ahead.
Redfall is ultimately not up to Arkane's usual standards. It feels rushed, unfinished, and unsatisfying to play.
Yep. I think it's a fair assessment.
Yeah, well, we'll see how that goes. But you played Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, right?
Oh yeah.
One
Was
of
that
the
wait, that was the one you could go hit the gym and work out for a while, right?
Yep, sure was. You go get a haircut, work the gym.
That shit was the best. Roll around on the bike after I worked out all day. It was fucking hilarious.
Yep, and then you would get tired after you rode on the bike. I think Grand Theft Auto San Andreas was absolutely ahead of its time, even though that they remade it. It's not the same.
Yeah, probably not.
But the reason I bring this up is because it always talks about that Grand Theft Auto San Andreas may have had the worst mission from any Grand Theft Auto movie, video game.
What mission?
It was called Wrong Side of the Tracks. And this is where you're chasing down the train on a dirt bike.
Oh, fuck that thing. Yeah, I know what
You
you're talking
remember
about.
the mission?
Yeah, garbage.
I absolutely hated this mission. I remember I played Grand Theft Auto San Andreas recently, and this mission came up, and I failed like 10 times in a row, and I immediately quit out. I was like, this game is too old for me to be this upset.
Hey, rage quit.
I literally remember hearing the saying, all we had to do was follow the damn train CJ over and over and over again.
Such bullshit. It's just, like that mission was just too hard. There was a flying one in Grand Theft Auto 5 that I really did not like. Really fucking struggled on, and I don't think I ever got past it, to be honest. I think I quit.
A flying one. What was the mission? I don't recall that.
You know the crazy one? The crazy guy? I forget his name.
Yeah, Trevor.
Yeah. So you had to take this flyer and spread,
Oh,
I
I
feel
love
like it's
that
some
mission.
pesticides or something.
Yeah, I love that mission.
Yeah, no, I wasn't a fan of it. I don't think I ever finished the game because of that mission.
No, I get you. I get you. But unfortunately, guys, it's going to be a short episode because there's not a whole lot to talk about this week.
Yeah.
Oh,
Was wait, we still got Dune, don't we?
oh, shit, I forgot about Dune. My apologies.
I
The Dune trailer came out, Dune 2. Okay, first, you really liked the first one, right?
loved it.
I am a big fan of Dune. I didn't think I was going to like it, especially since it had Timothée Chalamet. I thought it was a surprise hit, and I actually
Yeah.
rewatched it several times.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and we just was announced today the Dune 2 trailer is finally upon us. It's going to be coming out, I want to say, November 3rd of this year. What are your thoughts, Chris? Looking at the trailer, are you excited? Are you less excited? What's going on in your head?
I'm pretty excited. Again, it looks more of what I want to see. Like for the like some of the clips I saw in there, the amount of people, like it looked like more good shit. Count me in.
I'm just excited to see Zendaya in this one.
Are you?
Because she was only like all the promotions of the original Dune made it seem like Zendaya was going to be like the co-star, like she was going to be big role. She was only in the movie for 10 minutes in the
Yeah, the first
original
one
one.
she was barely there.
Yeah, she was barely there.
Barely had lines too.
Like I think she had like maybe two sentences of dialogue.
You're right.
And to see her finally looking like she's getting, well, in the trailers, I think she gets one sentence of worth of dialogue. This is why I hate trailers. They show all the movie at once. I'm excited to see her more often. I'm excited to see Timothée Chalamet. I think this is a series that is really going to be the new series. Now, when Dune first came out, they said that it's going to be the new Star Wars. Do you feel like Dune has the cultural impact to be the next Star Wars?
I think it can be this generation Star Wars, yeah. I you can't fully say it'll be Star Wars because Star Wars has been around so long and it's like a cult, like it has a cult following and everyone thinks it's the greatest thing ever when I think it's pretty mid. But it's Star Wars has a fantastic universe, but they have horrible writing at times.
Oh, absolutely.
Like some of those original movies, I'm just like, what the fuck was this?
Well, you have to think about the times. It's not fair when you like put it in modern standards.
But you have to think of from my point of view, I watched it in a modern standard because I never watched it back then.
I didn't watch
Star Wars. Like, I didn't watch the first six movies until we'll say 4 years ago.
That's depressing. I understand it, but that's depressing.
Yeah, at the point that I watched it, everything that I have that they had done, I had already seen done because, you know, it's sci-fi and it is copied and, you know, but there wasn't anything special to me because I didn't see it when it was that big sci-fi thing. I just didn't. And I just can't forgive. I cannot forgive that there was a whole movie of two robots walking through the desert.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, what is this?
Basically what it was.
Like, what is this? And I get flack for this, but I don't care because it's because I like because of when I watched them. But I thought the prequels were better than the original. It just felt better.
It's like, more modern time, so I can understand that from your perspective. I totally can see that. I think Star Wars has a very unbalanced series of films.
Yeah.
I do not think that they're all good. I think that most of them are either mid, unless you get to Solo, which I didn't mind Solo at all, really. But I would like, I saw it once and that was it. I never needed to go back.
Yeah.
Rogue One, I went and saw several times.
Oh, dope. Okay.
I think
that one was pretty good. I will say that.
I think Rogue One is the best in the entire Star Wars legacy. But I think I'll agree with you. I don't know if Dune can ever reach the level of Star Wars. But I also don't know if Dune is going to have the cultural impact today. Do you know what I'm going to say has the cultural impact that I think could probably match Star Wars?
What?
I hate to say it, Avatar. I think Avatar is massive. I think they've been able to, James Cameron's been able to build a massive world. He already has five films planned. I don't know if I have the life expectancy to watch all five films, but I think I think that's one that has a cultural impact. Now, are people dressing up as blue people and going to conventions? Absolutely not, like they would with Star Wars. But I don't see them doing that with Dune either.
No. No, I don't either.
Maybe the days of that are just done. Like, maybe people are no longer finding like new things to dress up as. At least not like in the current movie realm. Now, I'm not talking about like anime and manga and things like that. That's still very much growing. But just in the movie realm, I feel like the nerdom for films is just gone.
I think so as well. Absolutely.
Mm. Well, do you have any final thoughts or final points or anything you'd like to review for us?
I do not. Nope.
All right. Well, I'll give you a final review. I mentioned this before at the top of the hour. If you have an opportunity, definitely picking up Disrupting the Game by Regis Phyllis Ames. I'm actually going to give this book 5 uninformed gamers out of 5. If you are into video games, this is a book for you. If you are into business, this is a book for you. If you are into reading, this is a book for you. And if you're not, this is the book for you. Yes. All right, thank you so much for joining us here at the Uninformed Gamers Podcast. I am one of your hosts. You know me, you love me. I am Darkness Tiger on Xbox and Darkness Tiger 2 on PlayStation 5, which I haven't turned on in a couple months. If you like what we do, be sure to send us... I know, that was shady, and it's true. If you like what we do, be sure to send us a tweet at Uninformed Gamers. We're really moving away from that, so if you message me, it'll take a while for me to respond. Or you can go ahead and send me a message on the TikTok at Uninformed Gamers. All right, Chris, go ahead and give your sign-offs.
Yeah, I am Chameleon, and you can find me at Chameleon Games on Twitter. That is the best spot to get a hold of me.
All right, thank you all for joining us for another installment. Be sure to like and subscribe. We'll catch you next time. Bye.
Peace.